Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, The Lord Slays the King of the Demons. It's going to take us another month before he's dead. It's a slow death. Shri Hiranyakashipuravacha Vyaktam Tvam Matu Karmosi Yoti Matram Vikat to say Mamork Shunam hi mandatman Nanusyor Viklava Giraha. Shri Hiranyakashipur Uvacha. The blessed Hiranyakashipu said, Yaktam, evidently, Twam, you, Martu Kama, desirous of death, Asi, are, Yaha, one who, Aldi Matram, Ati Matram, without limit, Vikatase, are boasting, as if you had conquered your senses, whereas your father could not do so. Mumukshunam, of persons who are about to meet immediate death. He, indeed, Manda Atman, O unintelligent rascal, Nanu, certainly, Siu, become, Viklava, confused, Gira, the words. Hiranyakashipu replied, you rascal, you are trying to minimize my value, as if you were better than me at controlling the senses. This is overintelligent. I can therefore understand that you desire to die at my hands, for this kind of nonsensical talk is indulged by those who are about to die. Watch what you say. Purport. It said in the Hitopadesha, Upadesha himorkanam prakapaya ni shantaye. If good instructions are given to a foolish person, he does not take advantage of them, but becomes more and more angry. Prahlad Maharaj authorized instructions to his father, but accepted by Hiranyakashipu's truth. Instead, Hiranyakashipu became increasingly angry at his great son, who is a pure devotee. This kind of difficulty always exists when a devotee preaches Krishna consciousness to persons like Hiranyakashipu, who are interested in money and women. The word Haranya means gold, and Kashipu means to refers to cushions or good bedding. Moreover, a father does not like to be instructed by his son, especially if the father is a demon. Prahlad Maharaj's Vaishnava preaching to his demonic father was indirectly effective because of Hiranyakashipu's excessive jealousy of Krishna and his devotee. He was inviting Nrisimhadev to kill him very quickly. Thus he was expediting his being killed by the Lord himself. Although Hiranyakashipu is a demon, he is described here by the word Shri. Why? The answer is that fortunately he had such a great devotee son as Prahlad Maharaj. Thus, although he is a demon, he would attain salvation, return home back to Godhead. Hiranyakashipu replied, you rascal, you are trying to minimize my value as if you were better than me at controlling the senses. This is overintelligent. I can therefore understand that you desire to die at my hands. For this kind of nonsensical talk is indulged by those who are about to die. So as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Sita karmani vidvamso yata korvandi bharata Korvan Vidvam Siddha Sakchas Tirsho Loka Sangraha. As the ignorant perform their duties with attachment to results, so the learned may similarly act but without attachment for the sake of leading people on the right path. Nabudi Beda Janayam Aganam Karma Yusanginam Joshiat Sarvakarmani Vidvam Yukta Samacharan. So as not to disrupt the minds of ignorant men, attached to the fruit results of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop work. Rather than by working on the path, spirit of devotion, he engaged them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada writes in the purport, therefore a realized soul in Krishna consciousness should not disturb others in their activities or understanding, but he should act by showing how the results of all work can be dedicated to the service of Krishna. The learned Krishna conscious person may act in such a way that the ignorant person working for sense gratification may learn how to act and how to behave. Although the ignorant man is not to be disturbed in his activities, a slightly developed Krishna conscious person may directly be engaged in the service of the Lord without waiting for other Vedic formulas. For this formula man, there is no need to follow the Vedic rituals, because by direct Krishna consciousness, one may have all the results one would otherwise derive from following one's prescribed duties. So, Krishna advises us not to approach ignorant people. Unfortunately, there's nothing but ignorant people. We'd be out of a job if we didn't approach ignorant people. There'd be no one to approach. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if he came like all the other incarnations to kill the demoniac people, as he says, Paritranaya Sadhanam, Vinashaya Tadiskritam, if he actually come to Vinashaya Tadiskritam to kill the Diskritis, then there would be no one left to preach to. Therefore, as Prabhupada writes also in the Bhagavad Gita, that the devotees knowing Krishna's real desire that everyone go back to the spiritual world approach people, although they know that they're not really qualified to hear about Krishna consciousness. Of course, such people, we generally don't tell them so much about Krishna consciousness because we're not usually on the level of Prahlad Maharaj. I remember one time I was doing a fair and distributing books, and I decided I'm going to experiment. I'm going to tell people exactly what's in the book. So everyone I went up to, I said, this is a book about Krishna. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tells you about karma and reincarnation. And at that time, it was like 30 years ago or something. I couldn't, in 1 hour, I couldn't sell one book. So then I decided to use my usual tactics that Prabodhananda Saraswati recommends and say, thank you very much for coming to the fair. We welcome you, and here's a souvenir you can take home with you. Because you seem like the best couple here at the fair, so you deserve it. Besides that, the book matches your dress, so I'm sure you... And I just started to sell one book after another. Because people are not prepared to hear anything other than what they're used to. Generally, people know only a few things. They know where they work. They know how many children they have. And they know where they were born. Outside of that, they don't really know very much. And anything you may tell them might wind up in a conflict with them. And as soon as they say no, then that means no. They won't take the book. If you keep on saying no, if you go, are you from around here? And they go, yes. Or Vaishya Sikapuru used to do, he knocked on a door to door, and the person would answer, and he'd say, do you live here? Generally, guaranteed a yes. So that story, what can they say? Go away. They just said yes. It's all affirmative. It's all positive. So you just ask people, you know, they're there with five kids, and you go, excuse me, are you from around here? And they go, yes. Do you have any kids? And they go, yes. How did you know? What kind of work do you do? And they go, so-and-so. Do you like, are you a good worker? And they go, yes. Go, yes, yes. Would you, can you give a donation? I guess, yeah, why not? Everything they said was yes so far, so they, well, this is really a positive conversation. So you have to be a little bit intelligent dealing with people. If you go, you know, do you like the Hare Krishnas? They go, no. Do you believe in God? They go, no. Do you believe in reincarnation? No. Would you like to give a donation? No. Not at all. Give me some money. I need a donation. Usually they say, I need a donation. But Prahlad Maharaj is very truthful, and one of the qualities of truth, of sterility of speech, is called satya, being so straightforward, as Prabhupada writes, that one can tell the real truth to, even to an enemy. That's not the only quality of austerity of speech, though. Such as I said before, or as Krishna says all the time, anuvega karam vakyam sattva prihitam chayat svadeya abhyasanam chayva vangmana tap uchite. Of course, what Krishna mentions first, the first Sanskrit words are not necessarily the generally, Sanskrit is reversed. Whatever is the first comes last. But anuvega karam vakyam means that don't agitate people's minds. So obviously Prahlad Maharaj probably agitated his father's mind a little bit. Since he took out a sword to cut off his head, his mind was undoubtedly a little agitated. So for most of us, we shouldn't bring people to that point. Because it's unlikely that Lord Nrisimhadev was going to peer all the time from the pillars. Besides that, if he peered from the pillars all the time, the house would fall down. There wouldn't be any pillars anymore. And if Hiranyakashipu doesn't kill us, the collapsing house would probably kill us. So one has to be careful not to agitate people's minds, because if their minds are agitated, they won't be able to hear what you're saying. They'll just be listening to their agitated mind. As soon as the mind is agitated, one's intelligence is taken away. And if one's intelligence is taken away, then one will not be able to understand the subtle nature of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, anuvega karam vakyam sattva. Although we should be truthful, sattva priya, but we should also say things that are pleasing. Tell the truth in a pleasing way. Or as Krishna has said to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, asochana vishochas tvam pragyam vadam shabashate katasum zagatasum cha nanu sochati pandita. Now, while speaking learned words, you're mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are actually learned lament neither for the living nor for the dead. So Krishna didn't come out and say, Arjuna, I think you're a fool. No, he said that a learned person doesn't speak like you do. So you'd have to think about, what does that mean? He said, he's not calling me a fool. He's saying, but I'm a learned person. Doesn't speak like I do. That means I'm speaking like a person who's not learned, which means I'm a fool. But you're not calling me a fool. They're just saying that another person who's learned wouldn't speak like you. So it's called indirectly instructing them. Priya hitam chaya swadaya byasanam chayva bangmana tap uchate. And one should say things that are beneficial, and that one should be, one's words should be in accord with the Vedic literature. Now, Prahlad Maharaj, his coming there, Krishna had put him there, specifically to show the power of pure devotional service, and at the same time to get rid of Hiranyakashipu, who is disturbing the demons. Therefore, Hiranyakashipu had to appear, because that's his reason for coming, in that form, half man, half lion, in order to kill Hiranyakashipu, in order to give him the benediction, not getting liberation immediately, but he had told the doorkeepers in Vaikuntha, you'll have to take three lives, three births as demons, and then you'll be killed, and then very shortly you'll come back to the spiritual world. So these are all arrangements by Krishna. Otherwise, generally, if you have a demoniac father, and especially violent demoniac father, especially a demoniac father who's so powerful that even the demigods were afraid of, it's a good idea not to preach to him so much. Give him some prasadam, but don't preach to him. But Prahlad Maharaj is different because he was an authorized devotee of Krishna, and we can't understand how exalted Prahlad Maharaj was unless he was put to a test, unless Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad, unless Hiranyakashipu was, if Hiranyakashipu didn't torture Prahlad, we would have not, Prahlad wouldn't have been one of the Mahajans. Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kamara, Kapilo, Manu, Prahlado, Janakao, Bhijmo, Vayora, Vayasakira, Vayam. That Prahlad Maharaj demonstrates that by the power of remembering Krishna constantly and being absorbed in Krishna consciousness, even being put in the greatest danger, one is not disturbed, as Krishna talks about in the Bhagavad Gita. That a true yogi, even when they're in the greatest danger, they're not disturbed. So Prahlad Maharaj is the epitome of that. Ambarish Maharaj was put in one danger. Some fiery demon was thrown at him, and Krishna counteracted it. But Prahlad Maharaj was for a good period of time was put into so many dangers, and Krishna saved him so many different times. I mean, for most of us, if we were thrown over a mountain, that would be enough. But he was not only thrown over a mountain, he was put under the feet of a mad elephant. He was put in freezing cold. He was put in scorching heat. The demons came with tridents trying to pierce him. He was put into a den of snakes. I mean, after a while, you start thinking, I wonder where I'm feeling a little paranoid. Maybe there's a good reason I'm feeling paranoid, as if someone's out to kill me. Because Hiranyakashipu was obviously trying to kill him. So how would we feel? So this is the first example in the universe of child abuse and torture, trying to get someone to surrender through the process of torture, but it was unsuccessful because he was protected by Krishna. In that regard, we have one instance in Serbia. Actually, it was Croatia. There was one taxi during the Croatian-Serbian, when they had that war between Croatia and Serbia. There was one taxi cab driver who was Serbian on the border with Croatian. And one day, for some reason, they arrested him and his friend. And they started to torture him. They tortured his friend to death. And then they were going to torture him to death. So they were beating him and beating him. And somehow or another, the week before, he came in contact with the Hare Krishnas, and he learned the Hare Krishna mantra. So out of nowhere, he started to yell out, Hare Krishna. So they were beating him, and he was yelling out Hare Krishna. And they thought, well, I think we got the wrong guy. And they let him go, and they just had him bury his friend, and they just let him go. That's the power of the Hare Krishna mantra. That, generally speaking, you get tortured, something like that. Your next destination is supposed to be in Yamaraj, but Yamaraj is not expecting anyone to come and chant japa with him. How'd you get here? So we should chant Hare Krishna, but the moral of the story is we should chant Hare Krishna, but we should be careful what we say to people, unless we're as powerful as Prahlad Maharaj, then we can't expect all the time that Hiranyakashipu is going to come and save us. Although sometimes he does. We talk, we chant Nisringadeva, there are many instances where the devotees were put into great difficulty and they chanted Nisringadeva's mantra and Nisringadeva actually came and saved them. But I can't remember all those stories. Does anyone remember a story where someone was chanting Nisringadeva? I know one story, a devotee was being attacked by this big, big guy and he started chanting Nisringadeva mantra. Another bigger guy came and beat the guy up. So it is good to remember these mantras. Did I know a story where the devotee was saved by chanting Hare Krishna? Anyhow, at least you got a couple of stories now. Any questions or comments? It's interesting also here at Sri Hiranyakashipu Ravacha, there's not very many places, if any other place where the person is called Sri, unless it's the goddess of fortune, Sri, saying something, then she's called Sri. Because Sri is the name for the goddess of fortune. But Hiranyakashipu is given the name Sri Hiranyakashipu Ravacha, although he's probably the biggest demon in the Bhagavatam. Yes.
So, where is this line where we say people, not directly from the books, but we say something like you said, but this is people, then devotees sometimes they go over the edge and they say things, you know. I heard one story that he was talking about, the guy was interested in chakras and he said, yes, this is all in these books. And obviously it was not inside, but.
Yeah, they have to be. Prabhupada said we should say things in such a way that they don't become disappointed later. We're not just trying to get their money. Ultimately, we try to get their hearts also. But you can say if you read this book, your chakras are open. You can say things which are true. Probably gives the example of Tripurari Maharaj when he's distributing books at the airport during the oil crisis in 1970-something. 73, I think there was an oil embargo. So he said that this is a way of solving the oil problem for crisis. Which is true, it actually applies. Someone could come back and say, you know, he told me a lot. Now you can explain how it actually solved the oil crisis. But the devotees used to go over, we used to sell records. And on the record, it said, you know, George Harrison, it was Pink Floyd, Stevie Wonder, that's right. Stevie Wonder. And a list of other ones that, you know, Grateful Dead, they authorized this album. It was a change of heart, the album. So, you know, people looked at it, you know, the whole list of people said, wow, I need this. We didn't say they were in the album, we just said they authorized the album. Some of the devotees would go out, you know, the books, you know, George Harrison, the Beatles, John Lennon, etc., you know, take the book and give a donation. Wouldn't say that they're in the book or anything about the book. Just recite a bunch of names and then ask for a donation. People just assume that the book had something to do with it. But we don't recommend this, I mean, especially in a small country like Slovenia. And, you know, when people are passing through an airport, especially in a country which has 300 million people, It's unlikely they're ever going to find you. Still, we want people to take the book and actually read it, or at least, you know, not to, to curse the Hare Krishna movement. Like one person at the airport, he wanted to give a donation. He gave the devotee a donation. He said, did I give you a 1 or a 100? That's all I had in my wallet. And he gave him a 100. And the devotee said, I think it was a 1. So he left. And it's plain. He looked up in his wallet and there's a 1 instead of a 100. So things like that, maybe it's better off. We're interested in the long term also, but sometimes you know, you have to be intelligent. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Krandaraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.